Today is Palm Sunday. We've been in our series in Ruth and enjoyed just moving through that. I hope you did as well. Certainly Ruth provides a picture of Jesus, also provides a place, entry point for him in the lineage following from Abraham to David. So it's a really cool book. But today we're going to be reading in Luke chapter 19. If you want to be turning there, we're going to just drill down on Palm Sunday. While you're finding that on your Bible, in your Bible or your mobile device, just we'll let you know that you can give online. If you haven't done that, if you haven't been doing it, I encourage you to do so. Give online at elevationindy.com, or you can text to give. Again, elevationindy.com, click on the Give Online tab, or you can text to give right there in a virtual way. So, reading in Luke chapter 19, pick it up in verse number 28. It said, "When he had said this, he went on ahead, going to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, 'Go into a village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it.'" So verse 32 says, "So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, 'Why are you loosing the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of him.' Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying this: 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But Jesus answered and said to them, 'I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out.'" It's a beautiful rendition of Jesus and his, what's called his triumphal entry. He's entering the city, and they are waving palm branches. You can read this in the other gospels as well. They're waving palm branches, and they're laying them in front and laying their clothes down, their coats, as the donkey brings Jesus in. And it's beautiful in that Jesus is receiving at least a little bit of what he should deserve, right? He's despised and rejected of his own. It's been pharisaical, them contending with him. It has been, and it will be, him going to the cross. After all, next Sunday's Easter, and Good Friday's coming, and all the things that transpire. But right now in this moment, they're giving a welcome. They are celebrating him, and I think it is beautiful. And there is some selfishness in that, right? Hosanna, save now. Certainly they are looking for someone to come and give them what they want and what they desire. But nevertheless, there is this honor that I think is, we want to see that for Jesus. We want to see this worship for him, for all he has done. But before you get there, you see all these different players that are in the game, if you will. Right, you see the Pharisees. It wraps up with the Pharisees as people are praising him and they're celebrating him. The Pharisees are saying, "Teacher, Rabbi, rebuke these followers. Don't let them give you praise." And Jesus says, "Hey, if I stop them, the rocks are going to cry out." In other words, praise is coming. And how many know, let me give you some good English, I don't want no rocks still in my praise, right? We're going to praise God. I hope you've been doing that today and even in your home, praising God, right? We don't have to be inside the four walls of a building to praise God, and we don't have to have the worship team and band, and we don't have to have certain kind of elements just to make it worship. We can worship God right where we're at, and they're worshiping God and worshiping Jesus. And the idea is, listen, Pharisees, your criticism went far enough. And then, no doubt, I don't think they're mentioned necessarily here, but the Roman soldiers are there. Is this an uprising? They're watching, right? The Roman guards are there. There's a crowd of people that are involved in this, and I talked about the activity of God, certainly a few weeks ago, and certainly people are drawn to activity. They're there, right? The crowd is there. His disciples are there, and you gotta know the disciples are like, yeah, we've been hanging with him. Right. We were with him when all the people left him in John 6, and Peter's like, you know, he asked me, you're going to leave me too? And I said, no, there's not another. You're the only Christ. I'm sticking with you. So they are in their moment right now too, I'm sure. They're pretty pumped and excited. Maybe they're laughing, and there's just this jovial kind of expression that's coming from them. Maybe there are even some tears. Certainly there could be some, you know, like, I told you so, he's the guy, but maybe there's even some tears flowing that Jesus, the one they've been following, they love, is finally being recognized, right, and celebrated. I think we would do that, right? And so Jesus is there. They've seated him on the donkey, the colt. And then you have the colt, the donkey, that's there. And some unique things about it that I think connects to who we are as a church. And on this level, so we talk about our values and the idea that we do value experiencing intimacy with God. And we want everyone that connects to Elevation Church to experience that. And if you're viewing this online experience for the first time, listen, we want you to experience intimacy with God. And we know that to experience that you have to know him, right? And so we know that people are on a spiritual journey, every person on this planet. I was just at a funeral. And as I did that funeral ceremony, I wrapped it up as many times I'll do, especially when people have given me the freedom to do so. And Bertha Buchanan, who lived to be 99 years old, long life, loved Jesus. In fact, her final weeks, she was like, I'm ready to go be with Jesus. She was happy. She knew God. God was in her life. And as we wrapped that up, that service, I just extended, and I do this many times, heads are bowed, and I just did this. I said, if you want to receive Christ as your Savior, just lift your eyes and look up at me. Five people raised their head up and looked right at me, acknowledging that they wanted Jesus in their life. And right where you're at today, if you want Christ in your life, it doesn't matter if I see you or not, he sees you. And it's to make that acknowledgement. Everyone should have the opportunity to know God, right? And here comes Jesus, right? He's riding into this town. I never read where Jesus wrote anything else. Maybe he did, maybe I've missed it, but here he's riding something. He's coming back riding a white horse, right, stallion, but right now here he is in this donkey. And when I think about our values, right, experiencing intimacy with God, engaging the next generation, Jesus did that. He said, permit the little children, suffer the children to come to me, permit them to come to me. And I can imagine there are children also in this crowd of people. Maybe they're dancing. Maybe they've got palm branches and they're waving them. I think it's a beautiful thing. We typically have our children sing on Palm Sunday in our live services, because I do believe that they were in the crowd. And as a church, we value engaging the next generation. We also value expanding the kingdom of God, that God's kingdom should expand. And I want to tell you this, that the way it expands is as people develop relationship with him, that they know who he is, that they know God, that it's not just some trivial, trite kind of thing, but at a deep level, they're growing in a relationship with him and they're experiencing intimacy with him. And it gets down to this. You see this donkey, I don't know how long it had been that place. Jesus knew right where it was at. He gave the direction. I love it because what Jesus said came to pass. It was exactly the way he said it. Let me tell you something. You can look at his word and it's still that way today. Exactly what he says is exactly the way it is. His word is truth. If he says it in his word, it's true, right? In the book of John chapter 17, it says this, thy word is truth, right? His word is true. And so they get there. The disciples do exactly what he said is true. And then they get the question. When they get the question, why are you loosing? Because the Lord has need. Because the Lord has need. And so, beautiful story, this place and position. And I think about that colt that was there, that donkey. It was created. No one had ever sat on it. I think that detail's important. Nobody else had ever been on that donkey, on that colt. No one else had ever sat on it. It was created for a unique purpose. I guess when God was creating all the animals at the beginning of creation, that he could look down through the telescope of time, and that first animal that he created that would have just this long list of descendants, that way down the line there would be that donkey, and God would have reserved it. I just think of God that big, that he could see that far into time, and he reserved it. And here it was, untouched, created for a unique purpose to carry the Messiah. Listen, you are created for a unique purpose. God didn't make an accident. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made. God has been working in your life all this time, just like I think about this donkey from its birth, its inception and its birth to this point right here. God had been developing it for that. About a little over a year ago, we were at Disney World, and I was at one of the stands looking in. We were buying something. I can't remember what it was. And I looked up, and they had the old little disposable, like, I guess, Kodak or Polaroid or something, the little cardboard box cameras that you buy, and you put they have the film in them, and you take it and they develop them. And, I thought about, I can't believe they still have those, because you can do it all with your camera, and your camera gets the picture really quick. But years ago, you'd take the pictures, it'd be there, and then you'd have to go drop it off someplace to get it developed, and they'd take it into a dark room, into a dark place, and probably a machine at this level, but at one point it was a dark room, a dark place, and they would develop those pictures. And, if you discover a picture, well, it's different, but these were developed. And this donkey wasn't discovered. It wasn't like, oh, there's a good donkey, there's a good colt, we can use it for Jesus. No. God had been developing that all along. He had been creating it for a unique purpose. He is developing your life, creating you for a unique purpose. You need to know the God who has designed and created your life. You need to have a relationship with him. You need to have a close relationship. James 4:8 says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. You need to move close to God in relationship. So this spiritual journey we're on, the first step is, and that all of us are on a spiritual journey, that we would know God. Secondly, that we'd find freedom. And I want to tell you this, that when they went to find this colt, they had to untie it, right? They had to set it free. Before it would ever be used for the purpose that God had for its life, right? This unique purpose it had been created for, before it could ever experience that, it first had to experience freedom. Freedom precedes purpose in your life. Freedom comes first. Freedom has to be in place before your purpose can ever be put on display, before you can ever present what your purpose is, before you can ever be accomplishing your purpose. You first have to be free. As long as you're tied up, your purpose is tied up. And so freedom has to be the reality. We help people through life groups to experience freedom. And certainly we got a summer semester on the horizon of life groups where people can, as James says this, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed, that you may find freedom. We want people to find freedom because that freedom is going to give way to purpose. If there's no freedom, my purpose stays bound. If the donkey, the colt, isn't set free, it'll stay bound and never achieve the purpose that God has created it for. And so what we want for your life, what I want, what this church wants, is that you experience freedom. You just don't know God and realize that he's created you for a purpose, but that you find freedom so that purpose in your life can be called out. And sometimes, I think this, sometimes it's easier to stay in familiar bondage than it is to embrace the uncomfortable freedom for our life. Sometimes it's easier for us to stay in that familiar bondage, the bondage that we're used to, right? The mother that this cult is tied to. It's easier to stay tied than to make a step toward freedom that's going to be uncomfortable. And the question many times is this, right? If it's a hurt in your life, if there's a habit, you got some hang up, you got some kind of thing in your life that you know is keeping you bound, it's realizing that this is very familiar, but if I'm going to get freedom, I've got to allow myself to become uncomfortable. And if it's hurt, if it's something that somebody's done to you, the question is not how much forgiveness do they deserve. You've been toiling with that question for so long. Should I forgive them? How can I ever forgive them? It's really not about how much forgiveness they deserve. It's the idea of how much freedom do you desire, right? If you want to experience freedom, forgiveness has got to flow out of you. You got to forgive. That's the key to freedom happening in your life, and freedom is going to precede purpose in your life. And lastly, this morning, we've got to understand this, that this donkey carried Jesus. This colt is going to present Jesus to the crowd, to the masses. In fact, I listed out the characters of the players in the game, right? The Pharisees, the Romans, the crowd, the children, the disciples. They're all going to witness Jesus. They're going to witness Jesus elevated. They're going to see him in that place, that presentation of him, because of this colt that is available. It's going to carry, and listen to this, our purpose is always linked to presentation. That's why I got to discover my purpose. That's why you need to discover your purpose of life. Our purpose is always linked to presentation. The world needs to see Jesus. The people in your life need to see Jesus. Right now, people that you are spending time with, they need to see Jesus in you. And the purpose of your life is always, not sometimes, not when I feel like it, not when I'm feeling spiritual, not when I'm going to church on Sunday, right? Our purpose is always linked to presentation. It's all about presenting Jesus. My purpose isn't just so I feel satisfied and fulfilled. You will, right? It's like the side effect of this great medicine of our purpose being linked to presentation. There's a side effect, and that's fulfillment and satisfaction. But I want to tell you, our purpose, your purpose, my purpose is all about presenting Jesus to a lost and dying world. And when I get to that place and understand that, I can understand the reason why Romans 12 says this, be not conformed to this world, but be renewed by the transforming of my mind. Allow my mind to go to a place of discovering purpose. God, why am I on this planet? It's not so I can be on a stage. It's not so that I can have my own platform. It's not so I can create a blog. It's not so I can be a star on social media or I can accomplish something. It's so that people can see Jesus. Nothing wrong in those kind of things. I'm saying this, though. My purpose, your purpose, is linked to presentation. It's about the Holy Spirit bringing Jesus to light through your life for others. Jesus wants you to be salt and light. And here's what happens. When those things get in order and you see, how could a donkey be involved in this great and awesome redemption that God provides? God just weaves it in there. It's a player, right? It's a character in the overall presentation of Jesus. You are a player, right? You have purpose in this. And so here's what I want to do right now. I'm going to ask Josh to come, and I'm just going to give us a time to respond to one of those areas that I spoke about. Maybe it's just connected with you. We've just came out of a series on Ruth, and if I mention these and you've been here, if not, you can go listen to it or view it on YouTube, but we talked about Ruth and Boaz and Naomi. All of them were players in the overarching presentation of Redeemer. the cult, it's involved in it. You're involved in it. And so we'll take a moment. You could bow your head right where you're at. I'm going to pray. And before I pray, though, maybe you're struggling with this idea of knowing God. You can invite him into your life right now. Maybe it's the first time you've ever watched a church online. Maybe you've never been inside of a church. That's okay. God can speak to you right where you're at. He can come into your life right where you're at. You're created for a unique purpose. And the God that has created and designed you wants relationship with you. Maybe I'm speaking to someone right now and you're just struggling with finding freedom. You keep on cycling back to the same hurt and addiction. And you know God has a purpose for you, but sometimes you kind of push the envelope a little bit and try to push your purpose ahead of getting free. I'm just saying God can bring freedom today. Or maybe it's just the idea that purpose has overwhelmed you and you got your focus misplaced and it's not been about presenting Jesus in your calling and purpose. I'm talking to dads and moms, I'm talking to people who, husbands and wives, that maybe it's been about the thing you're doing and not about presenting Jesus to your spouse or to your family. I encourage you, let's step in this. Heads bowed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. I just pray, Lord, wherever people are at, Lord, I can't know where every person that's viewing this is at, but God, you do. Lord, as we're one body coming to you, one family, coming to you together today in prayer, Lord, you know where people are at. You know what they're dealing with. And Holy Spirit, I just invite you, God, into living rooms, into kitchens, into bedrooms right now today. Speak to people about where they're at. Work in their lives. God, I'm praying, Lord, that people would make a step forward in relationship with you. God, that they would go deeper. Lord, they make that, some of them would make that initial step to know you. Lord, I'm praying for chains to be broken, Lord, for shackles to fall, for freedom to come, Lord, praying for purpose to be discovered, Lord, that we can make a difference. And God, we don't have to go on some world stage somewhere. We don't have to be out in our community to do this, God. We can make a difference right in our home. I'm praying, God, that you'll give revelation and clarity with that. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen. Be encouraged. Looking forward to next Sunday, Easter. Be in prayer for Elevation Church as we navigate these uncharted waters, and have a blessed rest of your week.